ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्तं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिके। सा एवा पुरुषः तस्माद् अंडम् निर्भिद्य निर्गतः सहस्रोरु अंघ्रि बाहु अक्ष सहस्रानन शीर्षवान्। स एव पुरुषस्तस्मात् अण्डं निर्भिद्य निर्गतः सहस्रोरुरङ्घ्रि बाह्वक्ष सहस्रानन शीर्षवान्। स एव पुरुषस्तस्मात् अण्डं निर्भिद्य निर्गतः सहस्रोर्भङ्घ्रि बाह्वक्ष सहस्रानन शीर्षवान्। स एव पुरुषस्तस्मात् अण्डं निर्भिद्य निर्गतः सहस्रोर्वङ्घ्रि बाह्वक्ष सहस्रानन शीर्षवान्। सः हि द लॉर्ड एव हिमसेल्फ पुरुषः The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tasmat, from within the universe. Andam, Hiranyagarbha. Nirvidya, dividing. Nirgataha, came out. Shahasra, thousands. Uru, thighs. Angri, legs, bahu, arms, akshaha, eyes, sahasra, thousands of, anana, mouths, shishavan, with heads also. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Virat Roop, with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, heads, etc. Please repeat after me. The Lord, Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, He entered into each universe and assumed the Virat Roop with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, etc. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada, the expansions of the plenary system within each and every universe are situated in different parts of the Virat Roop, universal form of the Lord, and they are described as follows. A very short purport. And although Srila Prabhupada has been describing about this point throughout, practically, Srimad Bhagavatam, that how it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who, as the cause of all causes, makes this material manifestation or material nature to become manifest. So in this chapter, very scientifically it has been described how the material creation takes place, how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes. Saiva purushas tasmad andang nirvidda nirgataha sahasrorvanghri bhat bhaksha sahasranana shirshavan. The Lord Mahavishnu, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it, and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe and assumed the Virat Roop with thousands of legs, arms, mouths, heads, etc. So, Prabhupada is making the point, although lying in the causal ocean, he came out of it and dividing himself as Hiranyagarbha, he entered into each universe. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to create this material nature, he expands himself into first as Mahavishnu, who lies in the causal ocean. Therefore, he is also known as Karanadakshayi Vishnu. So, that is the wonderful ability of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. While he is lying in the causal ocean, he can expand himself into innumerable Hiranyagarbhas and enter into each universe. Whereas we can only remain in one form, in one situation, and then if we expand or if we want to do something else, then we have to change that situation. At the most, the yogis, the perfected yogis, can expand themselves into 8 forms. But although they expand themselves in 8 different forms, but they cannot do 8 different things. The 8 forms will do the same things at the most. That is the ultimate perfection that a living entity can achieve. Whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although he is in Vrindavan as Nandanandan, Brajendranandan, Krishna, he can expand himself into Balaram. He can expand himself into the cowherd boys. Then he can expand himself into Dwarkesh Krishna. So when he expands himself as Dwarkesh Krishna, he doesn't have to change his situation as Brajendra Nandan Krishna. He remains Brajendra Nandan Krishna, at the same time he expands himself as Vasudeva. Then he expands himself as Narayana. While he is expanding himself as Narayana, he is still there as Vasudev Krishna in Dwarka and Brajendra Nandan Krishna in Vrindavan. Then he expands himself as Mahavishnu and lies in causal ocean. And while he is lying in causal ocean, he expands himself into innumerable Garbhodakshayi Vishnus. And while he is also present in every universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, he is also expanding himself into innumerable Kshirodakshayi Vishnus and super souls. And Andantarastha Paramanuchayantarastha. He is also situated in every single atom and in every living entity's heart. So this is the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whereas we are just minute living entities. But the unfortunate thing is that although we are minute living entities, we consider ourselves to be the greatest. We never consider that we are tiny, tiny little individuals, we practically without any ability to do anything. That is our real situation. And that is our real situation, but unfortunately, due to our material conditioning, due to the influence of Maya, due to our envy towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like yesterday, Radha Krishna was very beautifully explaining, like the principal envy and secondary envy. And what is the principal envy? The main envy is our envy towards Krishna. Instead of recognizing his qualities, we are trying to become greater than him. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaurnitai. So it is the ultimate cause of our material conditioning is envy. And that envy is towards Krishna. And actually envy is as such, the greater the personality, more envious we become about him. And quoting Rupa Goswami, he pointed out that it is envy. What is actually envy? Envy is our inability to accept the greatness of others. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur described envy, the same point, in a very wonderful way, saying that it is becoming sad in others' happiness and being happy in others' distress. So inability to recognize the greatness of others or prosperity of others, the ability of others. So, now this envy is actually the root of all our difficulties. The inability to appreciate others' greatness. And inability, the ultimate envy is the inability to appreciate or accept the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the greatest. He is the greatest. And what are we? We are practically nothing. We are nobodies. Whatever we are able to do is simply due to His mercy. We should never think that whatever we do, we should take the credit for that. What to talk of desiring to get the credit for something that we didn't even do. And that's what we want. Even we want to get the credit for something that we haven't done. And the real position, real situation, the real humble state of existence is actually to recognize that how great the Supreme Personality of Godhead is and how insignificant and how unable we are. And when you do that, then everything becomes wonderful. When you recognize the greatness of the Lord and recognize the minuteness of ourselves, then what will be the natural outcome of it? Surrender. Surrender. And when we surrender, then all our problems are solved. When we recognize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become free from envy. And it is not an artificial thing. We recognize the greatness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we also recognize how much He loves us, how wonderfully He is taking care of us, and how magnanimously He is glorifying us. So that is the real greatness of Krishna. He is making everything happen. He is arranging everything for everybody. And at the same time, when we surrender unto Him, He glorifies us. Krishna actually wants to give the greater credit to His devotees than Himself. There are so many such examples. The two examples that we can consider in this respect, one is very clear and the other may be a little abstract. But these are the two very distinct and vivid examples how Krishna wants to glorify His devotees greater than Himself. Krishna wants to offer the greater glory to His devotees than Himself. One example is Arjuna in the battle of Kurukshetra. The greatest battle that the world has ever seen. Krishna, in order to give the credit to Arjuna for winning this battle, he took a vow not to use any weapon, to remain inactive in that battle, not fight in that battle. If Krishna fought, then people could have said, well, the Pandavas won because Krishna was fighting for them. Krishna fought. Krishna killed all those enemies. So in order to give that unalloyed credit to Arjuna, Krishna decided not to fight. Krishna took a vow not to even touch a weapon. So when the battle was won, who got the credit? Although it is due to Krishna that the Pandavas won the battle, but the actual glory went to Arjuna. Another example is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna consciousness, bestow Krishna consciousness throughout this earth planet. And he has given something that was unique, that he had never given before. Anarpito Charin Chirat. And that is why Rupa Goswami is describing him as the Mahavadanya. Namo Mahavadanyaya, the most munificent personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has never displayed such munificence, such generosity, such mercy. So he is Mahavadanya. He did something that the Lord never did before. But then he makes the prediction that the Krishna consciousness movement, this distribution work will spread all over the world. What I am giving now is just this in this land of India. But this movement will spread all over the world. And he gave the credit for that, the mission that was far greater than what he himself achieved, to Srila Prabhupada. Why did he do that? Because it is his nature to glorify his devotee. And Srila Prabhupada also spread Krishna consciousness throughout the earth planet, but he left the rest of the work, spreading it in every town and village, to his followers for generations to come. And the devotees will continue to do that, continue to execute that mission, giving out Krishna consciousness, spreading it all over the world. And as they do that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will glorify them. Now, by whose mercy things will happen? By whose mercy all these wonderful things will happen? Naturally, it will happen due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who will make these things happen. But he is not taking the credit himself. He is leaving the credit for his devotees to acquire. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants his devotees to be glorified. And he gave the real credit to his very, very dear devotee, Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because Prabhupada is his devotee. That's why he gave the credit to him. And so in this way we can see how great a devotee one is. He gave the credit to Srila Prabhupada that is even greater than his own glory. He spread it, he gave it, he brought it to this earth planet, and he distributed, but only in India. And then he made arrangements that practically that movement is lost. Within a couple of hundred years of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's disappearance, his teachings were practically lost. It was covered over by the works of the upper sampradayas. And from that time, from that point, from that point of total disappearance practically, the revival started. And he gave the credit for that to his devotee Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then the ultimate glory was given to Srila Prabhupada. Now does it mean that so all the good glory has been now given to Srila Prabhupada and now it's exhausted, no more room for any glory? No. The devotees will be glorified by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. How does glory be manifest? How the glory be recognized? It will be recognized through their achievements. And there is the whole world to achieve so many different things for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, you can't imagine what kind of things devotees have to achieve in order to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. Mahaprabhu said, in every town and village. So every town and village, Krishna consciousness will spread in every town and village. So when Krishna consciousness spreads in every town and village, we have to understand that at that time, the governments of every country in this world has to become Krishna conscious. It cannot happen without the changing of the government. We can't expect that Krishna consciousness movement has spread in every town and village and the governments are still demon crazy. The demoniac government. No. The government has to be Krishna conscious. Then only it will happen. Like after the governments become Krishna conscious, then only Krishna consciousness movement will spread in every town and village. And can you imagine what a massive work that will be? Can you imagine in America? Let's start off with India. The Indian government has become Krishna conscious. The Prime Minister or President of the country or the King of this country is a devotee. And not only in India. Pakistan, Iran, Turkey, Iraq, France, Belgium, Holland, London, England, USA, Mexico, Brazil. All the countries have Krishna conscious government. Now is it impossible? No. What is impossible for Krishna? Nothing is impossible for Krishna. But the devotees have to go out and do things. Devotees have to achieve. It's not that the devotees will have to achieve. Devotees have to become courageous. Devotees have to become committed. Devotees have to become active to achieve those things. Devotees have to become ambitious and go out and do things. And another thing, and then Krishna will make it happen. Now one thing is that devotee again is practical. Devotee sees what is the immediate need. Devotee doesn't think, when he can't even manage a temple, devotee shouldn't think, oh, now we'll take over the Indian government. No. First do what you're expected to do. then step by step it will happen. You can't even manage your own department. What to speak of a temple? Can't even manage your own department and thinking, okay, one day I'll take over the whole of the world. No. It'll happen gradually, step by step. And the first qualification is that we have to become surrendered souls. We have to become surrendered to Krishna. We have to become instruments in Krishna's hands. Then only things will happen. Then only Krishna will use us. And Krishna can play any game. Krishna can play any tune. Krishna can make anything happen. And mind you, Krishna will make it happen. He forecasted it will happen, so it will happen. Like as I was telling the other day, like many a times the sages told the Pandavas, this will happen. So Pandavas knew what will happen. Like as I was mentioning the other day, when the Pandavas were after Jatugriha episode, the house of Shalak, where there was a conspiracy to burn them, but they escaped. After they escaped from the Jatugriha, they were wandering around. Then one day Vasudev came and told that they will get married to Draupadi, the daughter, the most celebrated beauty of the time, the daughter of the king of Panchal, Drupad, and who was Yajnaseni, who was not born out of a womb. She appeared from the sacrificial fire. So she was not an ordinary woman. And so Pandavas knew, but and they went to Draupadi's wedding, Sayambara. But they didn't just walk up to Draupadi and say, okay, now since Vasudev say, so we will, you become our wife. No, they're just watching the fun. They're waiting, watching the fun. And when the right time came, Arjun got up and pierced the mark, hit the mark and won her. So devotees may know what will happen. Like for example, we know that Krishna consciousness movement will spread all over the world in every town and village. We know one day it will happen, but now we have to consider what is our immediate need and what is my immediate ability. What can I do and what is expected out of me? So if I am a devotee in a temple and the departmental heads are engaging me in a certain way, if they say, Prabhu, you please clean the pots. We shouldn't think that, well, why should I clean the pot? I should actually go out and take over the world. No. Devotee's understanding is, whatever is expected out of me, I'm supposed to do it. Whatever is the need of the moment, that's what a devotee is concerned about. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur put it very wonderfully through his one paragraph of his writing, one stanza of his poem. Forget the past that sleeps, nor future dream at all. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. Forget the past that sleeps. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishaka Devi ki jai, Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai, Srila Sandipani Moni ki Gaur Premanande. So don't dwell in the past. Forget the past that sleeps. No matter how wonderful the past is, don't dwell in the past, thinking, oh, it was so nice. In my past, I was a prince and everybody treated me so nicely. I was the apple of everyone's eyes. And I was so great and everybody worshipped me. People were just waiting to glorify me. Don't dwell in the past. Goodbye. It's sleeping. Forget the past that sleeps. Don't dwell in the past, nor future dream at all. And don't dream about the future also. Nor future dream at all. Don't dream about the future. Like, oh, Krishna consciousness movement is going to spread in every town and village, and you are dreaming, lying down in bed, dreaming how you have conquered the whole world. Dream, but dream in a real way. Dadadi Parasuram gave a very nice definition of dream. He said, dream is not what you see in your sleep. Dream is something that keeps you awake. Real dream will keep you awake, won't let you sleep. That is a real dream. Dream is not what we see in our sleep. But dream is what will keep us awake. Not only will keep you awake, it will even make you forget to eat. That is the real dream. But don't have this fanciful dream. Not future dream at all. But live with the time that are with thee. The time that is with you. The time that is in your command. The time that is in your control. What is the time that is in your control? The present. Live with the time that are with thee, and progress thee shall call. And that will be termed, that will be considered as progress. Live with the present. Do what you are expected to do right now. And that is the spiritual platform. Material time is lamenting over the past and dreaming about the future. That is the material time. Past and future. But the spiritual time is present. Spiritual time is eternally present. Then how can you be situated on the spiritual platform? By living at the moment, for the moment that is with you. There's a very famous English expression for that. Be here now. Be here now. If you are here now, be here now. Don't be somewhere where you are in the past, or not try to be somewhere where you want to be in the future. Be here now. Do whatever is expected out of you at this point in time. What is needed now? What does Krishna want you to do now? What do Krishna's devotees want you to do now? Just do that. And then only you'll become an instrument in Krishna's hands. Devotee doesn't mean inactive. Living entity is conscious. Consciousness means living entity is alive. Alive means active. Dead means inert. Living means active. So we are living beings, so we have to be active. But we have to be active for the sake of Krishna. More the life, more active we'll be. So, this is how we become situated on the spiritual platform in spiritual activity. So, Krishna will make all kinds of things happen. We can see like how wonderfully Krishna created everything. From nothing, Krishna created everything. And for Krishna, it doesn't take anything. For him, it doesn't take any time, nor does it take any endeavor. Like we see, Krishna is creating, lying in the causal ocean. He is creating the material nature, lying in the causal ocean, just glancing towards Prakriti. That is how Krishna is actually making this creation possible. And is it happening, although the descriptions are there, elaborately described, but does it mean that it took a long, long time for Krishna to make these things happen? No, it's instant. While Krishna is lying in the causal ocean, immediately he's expanding himself into Garbhodaksha Vishnu and entering into all the universes. Immediately it's he is making this living entities come into the material nature and get different types of bodies, and he enters into them as the super soul. For him, it is all a matter of instantaneous happening. But from our perspective, it may appear to be long, long time, but for Krishna, it's instant. Krishna deals with eternal time, whereas we are dealing with fragmented time. That's the difference. Anyway, the main point that Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the main objective of Srimad Bhagavatam? What was the main objective of Bhagavad Gita? Let's start from there. What was the main objective of Krishna describing all these secrets to Arjuna? What was the purpose of Krishna giving all this wisdom to Arjuna through 18 chapters? What was the ultimate purpose? The ultimate purpose was to make Arjuna surrender to him. That was the only objective. Surrender unto me, Arjuna. Similarly, all these 12 cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam, what is the ultimate purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam? To make us surrender to him. So the bottom line is surrender, surrender, surrender. And when you surrender, all kinds of wonderful things will happen. Be confident about that. Krishna consciousness is not dry or insipid. Krishna consciousness is full of excitement. When you surrender, it's not that your life is going to become dull. Rather, when you surrender to Krishna, you will see how exciting it becomes for you. And that's why the devotees, senior devotees, encourage the junior devotees to go out and do things. That's the quality of a leader. Why Prabhupada was such a wonderful leader? Because Prabhupada, from very beginning, he was encouraging everybody, go out and do things. Wherever he saw a little spark, He fanned it into a blazing fire. That is a leader. Go out and achieve things for Krishna. A true leader doesn't want his followers to become inactive individuals, surrendered. Oh, Guru Maharaj, I am completely surrendered unto you. No. Guru Maharaj doesn't want you to become like this. Guru Maharaj wants you to be like a lion and go out and achieve things for Krishna. Yes, when you are young, when you are babies, yes, then you will be taken care of. But when you grow up, he wants you to grow up like a lion, not like a rabbit. Go out and do things. And that's what Prabhupada was. Prabhupada wanted, and Prabhupada actually created lions out of his disciples. He did. Encourage everybody, the young boys and girls. He encouraged them to go out and do things. And that becomes his pride. That becomes the hallmark of his achievements and success. Don't we feel proud when we see Radha Krishna, just a 20-year-old boy, giving such a brilliant Bhagavatam class? And that is our pride, that is our glory. So, we have to learn to take responsibilities on behalf of Krishna, do things for Krishna. And how will it happen? How will it happen? Will it happen by dint of our own endeavor? No. The more surrendered we become, the more wonderfully Krishna will engage us. Krishna will use us. Krishna will use us. We become surrendered, but Krishna will use us. We may say, well, I don't want to do anything. But if we are truly surrendered, we may think that we are useless, we are not capable of doing anything. But if we are truly surrendered, then Krishna will use us. And when He uses us, that becomes the most wonderful thing for a living entity. So that is what Krishna consciousness movement is. And we have to understand that our purpose is to surrender unto Krishna. It's not that we want to become a big devotee, big achievers, but at least there is no harm in having a dream to do things for Krishna. But dream in such a way that not just daydream, lying in your armchair and dreaming about all kinds of things. Not armchair dreaming, but dream in such a way that you won't be able to sleep. What does it mean? That means dreaming of something to give it a shape. It's not just a dream. Give a shape to your dream. And then Krishna will provide. He'll say, okay, you want to achieve this for me? Come, here it is. Here is all the facilities. Just like an obedient servant, sincere servant wants to serve the master. And the master says, okay, all the facilities are here for you. Go ahead and serve. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute Krishna consciousness, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates, his eternal associates, Nitya Parshads, came also from the spiritual sky along with him. Some came before him, some came after him, and some will continue to come also in future. And one such eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Srivas Thakur. So today is Srivas Thakur's disappearance day. Srivas Thakur appeared before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actually, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, Srivas Thakur was 54 years old. So you can see he was much senior to him. He was his father's friend. And but he treated Mahaprabhu as his lord and master. When Mahaprabhu appeared, Srivas Thakur went to see him along with his wife, Malini Devi. Their house was close by. Like we know, Srivas Angan, from Jogpit it was only about 100 meters distance, 100-150 meters. So they are just neighbors actually. And Srivas Thakur was a great devotee. And at that time Navadvip was not the place for only the devotees of Krishna. There are many offensive individuals were there also. Many of these offensive individuals try to humiliate the devotees, discredit the devotees, cause trouble to the devotees. All the brahmanas, but they didn't want to recognize the devotees. And the brahmanas of Navadvip were actually offensive to Srivas Thakur and his brothers. Srivas Thakur had three other brothers, Shripati, Srinidhi, and Sriram. Sriram Pandit, Srinidhi Pandit, and Srinadhi Shripati. So these four brothers, and they were all devotees of Krishna, and they used to chant. They were so absorbed in chanting the holy name that sometimes they would stay up the whole night and chant the holy name. And the neighbors, they didn't like that. They felt that they couldn't sleep because of this chanting. And they used to threaten that they would report to the Muslim king about his activities. Some even threatened that they would break his house and throw it in the Ganges. But Srivas Thakur was not at all affected by that. Then there was another Brahmin, Gopal Chapal. He actually tried to discredit Srivas Thakur, trying to present him as a worshipper of Kali. That he is actually pretending to be a devotee of Krishna, but actually he is a worshipper of Kali. And one day, one night, he kept this paraphernalia, the articles of the worship of worshipping Devi in front of Srivas Thakur's house, in door. But Srivasa Thakur was so humble and so simple and so non-envious and so composed that when he saw these articles and he understood what was the purpose behind those, keeping those articles there, he invited, he called everybody, come, come, see what my actual identity is, what my actual nature is. See, I am actually a worshipper of Devi, Kali. And see these articles, these are, this is how I worship them. So he called everybody, and everybody could understand that some envious individual must have done that to discredit Srivasa Thakur, to put blemish in his character as a pure devotee of the Lord. And then what happened to this Gopal Chapal? In 3 days' time, he got so severely attacked by leprosy that his flesh and bones started to rot away. Leprosy is a very, very painful disease and very difficult disease. The nose falls off, the fingers rot away, the ears rot away. It's a very painful disease. And Gopal Chapal was afflicted by leprosy due to the offense to Srivasa Thakur. And he was suffering for a long, long time. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, came to Navadvip. Not Navadvip, he was on the other side of the river. It's also Navadvip in its Kolodvip, actually, one of the 9 islands. And he begged Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to cure him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that I'm not going to show any mercy upon you. You have committed offense to Srivasa, so go and beg forgiveness from him. Why are you asking forgiveness from me? And when he went to Srivasa Thakur, he immediately forgave him. That is the nature of a Vaishnava. No matter how offensive one may be towards him, when he comes and begs for forgiveness sincerely, he immediately forgives him. And he got cured of his leprosy as soon as Srivasa Thakur forgave him. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little boy, he was very naughty. But he was so brilliant. He was naughty, yet he was extremely brilliant. And he used to challenge everybody in debate. And he was so expert that he could prove that day is actually night. He could prove that day is night. He could prove that the sun rises in the west. Then he could prove back again that no, day is day and not night. So this was his super excellent brilliance. He was, even as a boy, he was so brilliant. Naturally, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even his devotees couldn't recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even his pure devotees couldn't recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because if they recognize, then the whole purpose will be lost. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was performing his naughty pastimes as a little boy. And Srivast Thakur, like many other pure devotees there, used to think that it would be so nice if he became a devotee. Nimai is just wasting his time in this all kinds of useless activities like debating, arguing. And Mahaprabhu used to challenge everybody, come, sit down here. What is this? He'll say it's a book. Then Mahaprabhu will say, no, this is not a book, this is a brick. And he would prove that actually this is a brick. So this is how Mahaprabhu was having his fun in those days. And then one day Mahaprabhu saw that Srivast Thakur saw him coming. And he changed his way and he was going from some other way. So he approached him and asked him, he ran after him and said, why are you avoiding me? I noticed that as soon as you are coming this way, but as soon as you saw me, you turned around and took the other course. Why are you doing that? Then Srivast Thakur told him, Nimai, why are you wasting your time in this argument and debate? Please recognize that the ultimate purpose of life is to become a devotee of Krishna. The ultimate purpose of education is to become a devotee of Krishna. Sheishe biddhar phal janiho nishchay Krishna Pada Padme Jana Chitta Vritti Roy. Understand with full conviction that the ultimate purpose of learning and education is to fix your mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that will happen. If you bless me, then someday that will happen. And then when Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he started to display his devotion to Krishna. He became mad in Krishna prema. People thought that Mahaprabhu became mad. Unmad rog, which is also called the disease that is caused by the imbalance of air. Bayu. The disease caused by the imbalance of these vayus in the body known as pran, apan, saman, van and udan. But the devotees could recognize that this was not madness. But this is transcendental madness due to his love for Krishna. And the devotees became ecstatic. Devotees like Srivast Thakur, Advaita Acharya became ecstatic. Now he is manifesting his real identity. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan, it was in the house of Srivast Thakur, Srivast Angan. Every night Mahaprabhu used to have the kirtan. And the door used to be locked. Only the qualified ones That means those who are devotees could enter into that kirtan. Non-devotees were kept out. So those who couldn't enter, they became very envious and angry with Srivastava Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Why aren't you allowing us to come in? We are so important people. You are not letting us in. But Mahaprabhu did not care, nor did Srivastava Thakur. Now one day, Srivastava Thakur's mother-in-law was watching the fun. She sneaked into the house and she was hiding under a bed. And Mahaprabhu felt that today the mood was not really catching on. He was not feeling so excited in the kirtan. Srivastava Thakur also felt that. So he started to wonder if whether any unqualified non-devotee has entered into the kirtan today. And while looking around, he found his mother-in-law hiding under the bed. He dragged her out of under the bed and threw her out of the house. No mercy at all. Although she was his mother-in-law, his only concern was Mahaprabhu's pleasure. So you can see, like, no concern for close relationship even. You are not a devotee? Get out of here. That was his mood. Another wonderful incident was when Srivastava Thakur's his son died. He died while the kirtan was going on in his house. And he could hear, although his son is in his deathbed, Srivastava Thakur was in the kirtan. At some point he heard some sound of crying. So he went inside the house and he found that his son died and the women are crying. Srivastava Thakur said, "Stop crying. Mahaprabhu's kirtan is going on. So don't interrupt that kirtan. Don't cause any disturbance to the kirtan. If you do that, I will jump into the Ganga and give up my body." His son died and he doesn't have any concern about that. Mother and other women are crying. He is chastising them. Don't cry. But Mahaprabhu felt that something must have happened and he expressed his concern, like, why am my mood... I'm not feeling that ecstatic mood in the kirtan today. Then Nityananda Prabhu told him that Srivastava Thakur's son died. And Mahaprabhu then told Srivastava, your son died and you are just in the kirtan and you are not telling anybody. You are just letting the kirtan go on. And Srivastava Thakur's answer was that even if everyone dies in my family, even if the whole world is destroyed, still I will not allow your kirtan to stop. Then Mahaprabhu came into the house, inside the house room, and told the boy, the dead son of Shiva, "My son, where did you go? Where are you going? Come back. Why are you leaving your father?" The boy sat up on the bed and he asked, "Which father you're talking about? Which mother you're talking about?" Because now I can see I had so many fathers, so many mothers. But now that I am going to achieve your lotus feet, please don't stop me from that good fortune. Allow me to get the shelter of your lotus feet. So Mahaprabhu let him go. So this is how great a devotee Srivas Thakur was. In Krishna's pastimes, he is Narad Muni, who appeared as Srivas Thakur. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Navadvip, after taking sannyas, Srivas Thakur couldn't stay in Navadvip anymore, he couldn't stay in Mayapur anymore, because everywhere there were memories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was completely heartbroken and he felt that he couldn't stay in Navadvip. So he left Navadvip and he went to a place where Isharpuri had his, which was the original place of Isharpuri. What's the name of that place? Chaitanya Doba is the Doba, but name of the place? Yeah, Chaitanya Doba, but where Chaitanya Doba is the Doba. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the earth from that place. He considered that place to be so sanctified, pure, because of Ishar, being Isharpuri's residence. Halishar. And Kumarhati, actually. Kumarhati. Actually, Halishahar and Kumarhati. Right. Then everybody started to take the earth from there. And as a result of that, a pond was created. Everyone was taking the earth from there. And that became that pond became known as Chaitanya Doba. Small pond of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kamarhati is the name of the place where he went and stayed there. On his way to Vrindavan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to that place and he met Srivas Thakur. And he asked Srivas, why you stopped everything? Srivas Thakur said that, look, I don't have any interest for anything else. Then Mahaprabhu asked, then how are you maintaining your family? He said, I don't care. Like, I don't care about what happens to anybody. I lost interest for everything. Then Mahaprabhu assured Srivas Thakur, he said, Srivas, Lakshmi Devi may go out with a begging bowl. Lakshmi Devi, who is the goddess of fortune, may go begging, but there won't be any scarcity in your house. And that is the assurance Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to the devotees. The devotees won't have to worry about their upkeep. Mahaprabhu will take care of his devotees. So, we can see what a wonderful devotee Srivas Thakur is. He is one of the Panchatattvas. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivasadi, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So, Srivas Thakur is the bhakta, devotee, personified. Bhaktavatara panchatattatmakam krishnam bhaktarupa swarupakam bhaktarupa bhaktaswarupa bhaktavataram bhakta shakti and bhaktyakhya. Bhaktyakhyam namami bhakta shaktikam. So today is the holy disappearance day celebration of Srivasa Thakur. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Srivasa Thakur Ki. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Does anybody have any question? Yeah, good question. Sri Mahaprabhu was just at that stage, when it is, like the initial stage. That is how he started it. Like, let the devotees get together. They relish the kirtan. And then the distribution work. From the beginning, one way to look at it is, from the beginning if you just made it public, then its essence and its value wouldn't have been recognized. So first he made them relish it, appreciate it, and he himself appreciated it. In this way, he got the devotees together. Like, if it was just from the beginning only, if he started to distribute, then it would have been watered down. Like, devotees and non-devotees would have become mixed up. So he first made the group of devotees assemble, and then the distribution work started. Yes?
It is mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, that he divided himself and he left the course of ocean.
No.
And he entered the Vyas in the indigenous.
No. You see, the point here is that although he expands, but he still remains. Like, it's not that, Karana Daksha, he became Mahavishnu, now had to become a devotee. That's the emphasis, that's the thing that I was trying to explain. See, although lying in the causal ocean, came out of it. See, simultaneously he's lying in the causal ocean, at the same time he came out of it. Right? So although lying in causal ocean, he came out of it. Not that when he becomes Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Karanodakshay Vishnu is not there. Simultaneously, although he is lying in causal ocean, he came out of it and expanded into Hiranyagarbha's. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Srila Srivasa Thakur Ki. Samaveto Bhakta Vrinda Ki. Srila Prabhupada Ki.